The Greek city of Berea was not a large city. Even at that time, it was not considered to be an important city. It was not an intellectual center like Athens. It was not a cosmopolitan city like Corinth. It was not a special status city of the Romans like Philippi. It was not even a trade center like Thessalonica. It was an ordinary Greek town. It was about 40 miles from Thessalonica. And Berea had a large Jewish population. The Jews had moved there after the nation of Judah was taken into exile. And the Jews there, like all those who were scattered throughout Asia Minor in that time, they clung tenaciously to their customs and to their religion. They worshiped the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they dreamed of the day when God would send the Messiah and God would fulfill His promises to them and God would bring about a golden age for His people, the Jewish people. On this particular day, this Sabbath day in Berea, the Jewish services followed their traditions. The people met in the synagogue. They sang psalms and listened while a rabbi, perhaps other elders, read scriptures from the sacred writings. There was a teaching by the rabbi, and it was the custom in the synagogue to ask any visitors if they had any words of wisdom or exhortation. And on this day, on this particular day in Berea, there were strangers in the synagogue. Their leader was a man named Paul. Paul accepted eagerly and began to speak with passion and intensity to that group of Jews and God-fearers who were meeting that day. And the Bereans listened first with politeness, but then with a growing interest and amazement. Paul's message centered around someone called Jesus of Nazareth. And using the sacred scrolls, the law, the prophets, and the writings, Paul clearly supported an amazing claim to those people who were gathered that day. Paul said that a man named Jesus had fulfilled the Holy Scriptures concerning the Messiah. And then Paul presented Jesus as the Messiah. And yes, He was crucified and He was put to death. And yes, this death was foretold in the Holy Book. And yes, this Jesus, though He died, was raised from the dead. This Jesus, the Messiah, was alive. And He offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who receive Him as their God and their Savior. And it was an amazing time of teaching in that group of Jews and God-fearers in Berea on that day. It was an astounding message that Paul proclaimed to them that day. Could it be true? Was Paul right? Was Paul's message accurate? Could they believe it? How should they respond to what they had heard? Now, these are questions that we should ask when anyone presents God's Word to us. We think about the Bereans that day when the Apostle Paul stood before them and presented the truth of the gospel. And yet those same questions that they perhaps asked, we can also ask any time that the Word of God is presented. And this no doubt is one reason why the Holy Spirit, through Luke, includes this short section about the Bereans here in Acts chapter 17. They were different than the others. They listened and they looked with open eyes and open ears. Look at verse 11. Luke says in verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. The word means noble. It came to indicate open-minded, not prejudiced, not hostile or suspicious. In other words, they listened with open minds. They listened with searching minds. And folks, the Bereans, because of this short passage, have become a kind of a model for all those who hear the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I would say to you that as we move into Vacation Bible School week, this is what we pray for. This is what we want. We want this response to the Word of God this week. Matter of fact, we want this response to the Word of God anytime that the Word of God is shared. We see it here in the lives of these Bereans. They have become an example to us. So how should we react when the Word of God is presented to us? What's the proper response to the Word of God when it's presented in Sunday school or small groups or Bible studies or teaching or preaching? The proper response will change us. The proper response will affect others. And this response is part of our taking the gospel to our world. Let's look now at this passage this morning, Luke chapter 17. What is the proper response to the Word of God? Now notice first of all that Luke tells us that we must receive the Word with readiness. Again, look at verse 11. He writes and he says, these were more fair-minded or noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness. This receiving of God's Word by the Bereans was not just a nod of approval or a tip of the hat, but the word means to welcome, to embrace warmly. It's to receive with gladness and joy. That word that Luke uses here, and it's translated receive, he actually uses also in Luke chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, when Simeon, the old man Simeon, was waiting to see the Messiah, and when he saw Jesus, he received him and blessed him, and there was joy, and there was gladness, and there was praise. It's the same word that Luke uses here in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And so what about the Bereans? They welcomed the word. They embraced this word. Again, in verse 11, Luke says, they received the word with all readiness. That word readiness means eagerness, enthusiasm, zeal. Like a famished man devouring a meal, they received and they accepted the Word of God. And why with eagerness? Why with this readiness and zeal and anticipation and enthusiasm? Later, the Apostle Paul would write to the believers in Thessalonica, and I think he gives us the key there. Hold your place in Acts and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So when Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica, he gives us the key. Now remember, when he went to Thessalonica, he spent several Sabbaths there reasoning with the Thessalonians, and many did believe after much reasoning. However, the Bereans, as we find out in our passage this morning, they were more fair-minded. They received it. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. Here's what Paul says. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, that's the same word that's used in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And so they received it as the Word of God. When Paul that day in Berea opened up those sacred, holy scrolls, they knew that he was speaking the Word of God. And so, folks, their eagerness was not in the speaker. They didn't even know Paul. They didn't know anything about Paul. So their eagerness was not in the speaker. They didn't know him. His appearance, I mean, he's a traveler. I mean, he's going all over the world. His appearance would not have been understanding. So, perhaps the inflections of his voice were far from pleasing. We just don't know that much about Paul's appearance or even his voice. But what was important to those Bereans? What was of the greatest importance to them was that he spoke from the Scriptures. He spoke from the written Word of God. Now, that would move us then to step back this morning and to look at us, look at ourselves. What does that mean for us? How do the Bereans help us? We can receive or welcome or warmly embrace the Word of God. Now let's think about it. Let's get practical here just for a moment. That means that we come to Sunday school with anticipation and eagerness. Let me say that again. That means we come to Sunday school. You realize that there is an hour of teaching the Word of God before the worship starts here at Faith Baptist Church? We come to Sunday school with anticipation, with an eagerness. The Word of God, brothers and sisters, is being taught in Sunday school. And we don't come for a certain teacher. We come for a certain teaching. The Word of God is being taught in Sunday school. And our attitude should be, as followers of Christ, our attitude should be, I come to Sunday school because I want and I need the Word of God. Amen. Do you want the Word of God? Do you need the Word of God? See, that takes place in Sunday school. That means that we come to our worship with anticipation and readiness and eagerness because God will speak to us this morning. You realize that you have the Word of God in your hands. You have the Word of God in your lap, and God will speak to you through this Word. God will speak to us today. We don't come for a certain messenger. We come for a certain message. And our attitude must be, I want and I need the Word of God. Okay, let me really get personal here. See, I think that if we come to this point as followers of Jesus Christ, that we really want and we need the Word of God, our Sunday school classes will be full. Amen. And you will be here at 9 o'clock. Amen? Amen. You will come to worship. And you will come because you love God and you love His Word and you know you need the Word of God and you want the Word of God. Folks, that means that we come to Bible studies and women's studies and men's studies and Wednesday studies and Tuesday studies with readiness and eagerness because God's Word will be taught and we desperately need the Word of God. Now, this eagerness and this expectancy and readiness can either be hindered or helped. Let me give you an example. Take our Sunday morning meetings, for example. If you come with a few hours of sleep, if you come after having a shouting match with your wife, if you come after growling at the kids, if you come still holding resentment or bitterness, do you think that you can welcome and embrace the Word of God? Now see, my point is this. You have to prepare yourself. You have to be ready. You have to look with anticipation and eagerness with what will take place when we gather as a church body on Sunday mornings. And this eagerness and this readiness is cultivated, folks, on a Saturday night or a Saturday. As a matter of fact, every day of the week. Amen. It's cultivated. You see, prepare yourself in prayer and prepare yourself in humility. And when you come, come with readiness and eagerness and take notes and ask questions and talk to God as He talks to you and submit to God's gracious work in you through His Word. And by all means, folks, come when the Word of God is proclaimed. Come. Because God is giving you opportunities, and God, by His grace, is giving you what you need, and He's giving me what I need. Luke says here that the Bereans received the word with all readiness and eagerness, and we must do the same. Notice second, what's the proper response to the Word of God? We must search the Scriptures daily. Again, look at verse 11. He says, "In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." This word "searched" that Luke uses here, it means examined. It actually was a legal term that meant to examine the evidence to determine the truth. This kind of an examination took great labor and diligence. In a legal setting, it could mean life or death. It could mean freedom or bondage to those who were in a trial or in a court. So the Bereans seriously and diligently examined the Scriptures. The Bereans willingly received God's Word, but they did not naively accept it. You see, what is spoken from God's Word must be tested by God's Word. They had open minds, but they had cautious minds. And it doesn't mean that they distrusted Paul, but it means that they would prove Paul. And when he would stand and he would read from the Scriptures and he would explain from the Scriptures about this man named Jesus, then we're told here in the Scriptures, told here in this Scripture, that they searched the Scriptures. They proved. They would confirm what Paul said. Cautious hearts, open minds, but cautious hearts. Can't you just picture that? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear his statement from the prophet Isaiah about Messiah? Did you hear what he said about Messiah's suffering? Did you actually hear what he said about resurrection? That the Messiah would be put to death and the Messiah would be raised from the dead? Did you hear what he said? That this Jesus of Nazareth was put to death and he was raised from the dead? And you can almost picture it. They're huddled over those large scrolls of the sacred writings and they're poring over the words of Isaiah to confirm the words spoken by the Apostle Paul. They tested his words. They examined the Scriptures to prove his statements. Now again, let's get practical. Every time that a pastor or a teacher stands before you, you should be able to test his words and prove his teaching from the Scriptures. You should be able to do that. Folks, there are far, far too many pastors and teachers who open up the Bible and give their own opinion. And what's worse is that people accept their opinions as Scripture. I mean, what kind of questions should we be asking? Well, questions like this. Well, how much of this sermon or how much of this teaching is actually Scripture? Is it based on Scripture? Is this pastor, is this teacher, are they standing before me? Are we looking together at the Word of God? Are we examining the Scripture to see what it says and to see what it means and to apply it in our lives? Is the truth of this sermon in line with the full teaching of Scripture? Who is the focus of the teaching? Who is the focus of the sermon? Is it the preacher? Is it the teacher? Is it the Savior? Is it God Himself? One of the sweetest sounds that I hear on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Tuesday evenings or Wednesday evenings or meetings during the week is when I say, turn in your Bible to this passage, and then there's this sweet, sweet sound of pages turning to the Word of God, turning to that passage. And why is it sweet? Because the psalmist says in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then the psalmist says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Apostle Paul would later write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and he would say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is sufficient for every good work. Luke says here that these Bereans searched the Scriptures daily. We must do the same. Do you search the Scriptures daily? Is there daily time in the Word of God? Do you want it? Do you need it? They searched the Scriptures daily. How do we respond to the Word of God? There's a third way that we see in our passage today. Look at verse 12. We must respond to the Word in faith. Luke says, therefore, many of them believed. Now, we've been talking this morning, looking here at this passage, at the response of the Bereans to the Word of God. Now, let's get specific. How did they respond? They received the Word. They searched the Scriptures daily. Look now at this response. Luke says here, many of them believed. Folks, this truly is a marvelous thing. These Bereans have met on the Sabbath, and they hear the Word of God, and then they test the message, and they examine with open minds and open hearts the words that they've heard from the Scripture. And you see, God's at work here. God's taking His Word that they have heard, and God's working that Word in their lives. God is faithful. That's how God works. He's working in them to receive it and to research it. And then by the convicting, convincing work of the Holy Spirit, some are convinced that what Paul says is true, and it's confirmed by the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the God-man who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus then is the answer to their sin and their guilt and their shame and their separation from their Creator. And they receive, or they accept, or they believe, or they trust in Jesus as their Messiah, their Savior, who died for them and who was raised from the dead. And notice that Luke says, I'll put it in my words, but their belief cuts across men and women and Jews and Greeks and rich and poor and weak and powerful. Here's how he says it in verse 12. He says, therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Now look carefully at verse 12. The first word in verse 12 is what word? Therefore. Therefore many of them believed. As a result of what they had been doing, receiving and researching the Scriptures, many of them believed. Paul would later say it this way to the believers in Rome, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, very familiar verse. He says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Folks, understand this, that in God's way of doing things, there is a direct connection between the hearing of the Word of God and faith. A direct connection between the hearing of the Word of God and faith. Folks, there can be no salvation. There can be no sanctification. There can be no change. There can be no transformation unless the mind of man is confronted with the mind of God. And the mind of God is right here. It's written down. We have it. This is how people are saved. This is what God uses. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the vehicle that God uses. This is how faith comes. Faith comes through the hearing of the Word of God. The mind of God is revealed in the Word of God. And that is why that we must do our best. We must give ourselves to get people into the Word of God. And folks, that's what Sunday school is about for kids. That's what the faith groups are about for adults. That's what the teen ministry and the college ministry, that is our goal. We want people into the Word of God. That's one of the purposes of a week of vacation Bible school. And what a privilege God gives us. And it's not just a couple hours in the Word of God, but you know this, it's many hours. Lots of activity, but the Word of God over and over and over in the lives of these young people during Vacation Bible School. That's what Truth Trackers is all about. See, everything that we do, it's focusing, yes, on the glory of God and yes, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But see, we have to understand that the Word of God is the vehicle that God uses. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why I see it as one of my primary responsibilities as a pastor is to get people into the Word of God. And I know whether it's a one-on-one Bible study or a small group study or a large class study or a congregational study that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When you become convinced that something is true, you'll respond. You'll act. And many of the Bereans believed. They believed what they heard. Now, in one way, it's a fearful thing to hear the Word of God. I want you to think about it. See, I know that right now, Satan is trying to disrupt your attention by this little whistle that you're hearing. I know that. Because he's trying the same thing with me, and I'm saying, forget it, Satan. Forget it. Because we have the Word of God in front of us. And whatever that is, put it away. And focus now on the truth of the Word of God. Folks, it is a fearful thing to hear the Word of God. Because what that means is that we're now responsible to respond. We have to respond to the Word of God, and we'll be held accountable for our response. Folks, there's no value to receive the Word of God with eagerness, to examine the Word daily, unless we respond to the Word of God by faith. Now, you know, I'm going to back up, because I said there's no value. There's always value in the Word of God. Always. And we have to come to the realization that we don't change people's lives. Our goal is to share the Word. And if people, if they receive it, if they warmly embrace it and they search the Scriptures, then I say praise God for that. And yet, we desire for people to believe. We desire for them to respond to the Word of God, and yet we leave that to the hand of God and the grace of God working in the lives of people. Seems to me that one of the most important questions that we can ask about the Word of God is this. Now see, we have looked at the Word of God this morning, and a question we can now ask ourselves is this. What now? What now? See, we can fill our minds with the Word of God, and that's good, and we can fill our time with the Word of God, and that's great. We can know the Word of God from front to back, from beginning to end, and the question is, do you believe it? Because if you believe it, you will do it. See, that's what real faith is. Real faith, it's something inside, it's in the mind, it's in the heart, it's something inside, but real faith always moves into action. What now with the Word of God? So in one way, I've done my work this morning. See, and by the way, you're only catching 30 minutes of it. There's a lot more work than just this 30 minutes. And I don't say that to draw attention to me. I say that to draw attention to anyone who studies the Word of God and who will present it to others. And yet I've done my work this morning, and now it's your turn. Now it's you. Apostle Paul said to the Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, now we have a choice in how we respond to the Word of God. So the question that we must always ask after we hear the Word of God is this: what will I do now? How will I respond to the Word of God? I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I've done it, I think, now for almost 17 years on these little sermon note sheets. Have you ever noticed these little sermon note sheets? Right at the bottom of that Sunday morning sermon note, there's this little question. What is that question? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? You see, that's an action of faith. We respond to that. What does God want me to do? How will you respond to the Word of God? Long after Paul's preaching in Berea, the Christian community thrived in that city. There's just a few verses about these Bereans. What a joy it had to be for the Apostle Paul to stand in front of that group, and they received the Scriptures and they searched the Scriptures daily and they believed. God used that little group of people. One of Paul's faithful co-workers was a man named Sopater from Berea. We read of him in Acts chapter 20. Years and years later, the city was considered a very important city in that region, and it had many, many churches. By the 12th century, more than 37 churches were identified in Berea, or this region of Berea, and some scholars tell us that there were more than 100 churches in this region around Berea. When Paul preached in the synagogue of Berea, he found people who were eager to receive the Word of God, and they searched the Word of God, and they believed the Word of God. And folks, they then took the Word of God to their world. That's where we are today. Let's bow our heads.